Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Over the Rhine, Cincinnati's largest historic neighborhood has undergone dramatic changes over the last two decades. But while more professionals are moving in, Over the Rhine is now home to several new businesses, upscale apartments, and rehab condos. A large majority of its residents still live below the official poverty level. Joining us to discuss how Over the Rhine is trying to maintain its character as a welcoming and inclusive community are Executive Director of the Over the Rhine Community Housing, Mary Rivers, Jay Washington, who works and lives in Over the Rhine, and Chair of the Over the Rhine Community Council, Ryan Messer. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call in your questions at 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
So we think a lot about Over the Rhine. There's all these new restaurants and a lot of things coming in there. But what I'd like to find out today, and Jay, of course, is one of those people, but who lives in Over the Rhine? What's the mix of people? Mary, do you want to start?
Okay, sure. I'll give it a shot. Yeah, there are a mix of people in Over the Rhine, especially today. Our organization, Over the Rhine Community Housing, has been around for over 30 years, and our mission is to provide affordable housing and focus on the affordable housing market. So I guess historically, the neighborhood, and historically probably for the last 30 or so years, it's been a neighborhood that has welcomed people with low incomes. And we've been a part of that welcoming, and we continue to focus on that market. We've also done some market rate housing. So the demographics are changing somewhat significantly. I know the comparison of the 2010 to the 2000 census data shows that while the population is about the same, I think it's probably about 7,000, maybe a little bit less, the same population between 2000 and 2010, we have lost African-American households and low-income households, and we've gained in households of people who are white and higher income, and we've gained in the number of homeowners.
So that's a slightly different mix. How long have you lived there, Jay?
This round, I'm a native Cincinnatian, and so I've lived in Over the Rhine three times now. This is my third stint, and I hope to be my final. I've lived here for about 5 years this go round, and for me, the makeup, although the numbers are correct, I think I would describe it as natives, creatives, and the latest.
We know what a native is. They've been there all the time, but describe what you mean by the other two.
So the natives were here from the beginning. The creatives moved in at a time when Over the Rhine struggled to maintain a residence and an identity, and they moved in and joined with natives to create an environment that was not only artistic but also very inclusive. And what we find now are the latest moving in. Those who've recognized the contributions of the natives and the creatives have found that there is not only benefit in living in the city's core, but also a beauty to this neighborhood, and find that it's a place worth investing in.
How has the neighborhood changed in the three different times you've lived there? What was it like originally versus the second time and the third time?
Okay, so the first time was in the early 80s. My mom worked downtown, and so as a young teenager, young adult, I found myself in Over the Rhine quite often. And for me, it was a place of refuge. I found that in other neighborhoods where I was a sort of quirky young person, that Over the Rhine was the only place that it didn't matter. It didn't matter where I came from, what I looked like necessarily. But if you had an OTR state of mind, you know, you were welcomed. And so it was very busy from a business perspective, but also a lot of negativity was slowly filtering in. There's a lot of drugs. Crack cocaine had been introduced in the early 80s, and they were feeling the effects of that. So at some point, we moved out of the neighborhood and the community. I returned in the mid-90s and moved into a new development. It's Bracken Village was a new development in Over the Rhine, and I had hoped to, again, identify with this community with a rich history. But also, there were still struggles. There was this attempt to revitalize Main Street with the new bar district. But I had found that it was a little still too Wild West for me and my family. And so I moved out again. And then this attempt in the last 5 years, I actually worked in Over the Rhine, saw the development, saw this light of creativity and newness coming back to the area. And so I decided if I was going to live in Cincinnati, I had to be a part of it.
Ryan, talk about the community now and how you would describe the Over the Rhine community.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything that's been shared. You know, I came to Over the Rhine to live, actually moved into my home. It's been about 2 years. And that was after a journey of about 5 or 6 years trying to find a location and then banks that would lend. Because when I was beginning my journey, banks refused to lend the amount of money you needed to renovate some of these old buildings. So solved that problem and moved in a couple of years ago. And even since then, if you think about what's happened since I moved in, Washington Park's opened, and just a huge influx of businesses, mostly up and down the Vine Street corridor, but dispersed around as well. But I think that the community there, no question it's diverse. And I think that the opportunity is for us to figure out how we leverage that diversity so that we don't go the way of other cities that have quote-unquote gentrified, but that we go the way of really what Jay shared as some of the history of OTR, which is building that inclusive, diverse culture. And if you look across Cincinnati, I wouldn't say that we've mastered the art of creating diverse neighborhoods. You know, we're one of the most segregated cities in the country, probably in the top 10 list of the most segregated cities in the country. So as a city, we haven't figured it out. But it's very interesting to me, and this was brought to a very long-time resident, and I sat down at one of the local establishments, and they shared their excitement that when they saw a lot of us so-called newcomers moving into the neighborhood, I don't think they expected a group of people who came in and literally have as our number one priority to maintain our diversity, because we moved to OTR to be in a diverse community that we couldn't find perhaps in other parts of the city.
We're talking about Over the Rhine and the changes over the years and making it an inclusive community. My guest, Executive Director of Over the Rhine Community Housing, Mary Rivers, Jay Washington, who works and lives in Over the Rhine, and Chair of the Over the Rhine Community Council, Ryan Messer. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. 513-419-7100. Mary, I'd like to talk a little more about your organization. You said you've been there for 30 years. I think a lot of people aren't aware of that. You actually take old buildings and renovate them and make them a place for people to call home. How do you go about that? Where does the money come from to do that?
Sure. So I've been with the organization for 21 years, and the financing for the housing comes from a lot of the same places any financing comes from banks and investors. There is a tool called low-income housing tax credits, which then offers the opportunity for banks and insurance companies to invest in affordable housing. There's federal housing dollars called home dollars, CDBG funds that funnel through the city and through the state that we apply for. We apply directly to the federal government, the Department of Housing and Urban Development. So we actually piece together a lot of different financing sources, and it takes a while. And there's a lot of rules and regs when you're working with the federal government and housing dollars. So that's how we piece together the financing side of it. So that's part of the affordable housing development story. The other side is the operations. So when we finance it properly and we don't have any permanent debt, that offers us the opportunity to charge lower rents. But we still have fixed expenses like everyone else does who owns property. So the operations can be a challenge unless you have rental subsidies. So affordable housing throughout the city, throughout the country, is really challenging because those subsidies to help cover the gap between what working people, retired people can afford to pay and what it costs to operate a unit responsibly, those gap sources are going away. Sometimes it's referred to as Section 8. That's one of the primary ones. There's public housing. There's the Section 8 that is attached to buildings and not to renters. So all those sources are kind of going away. And unfortunately, then all of us suffer, our communities suffer, because the units can't be operated properly. And then people who we care about, who do important jobs in our communities, driving our school buses, working at Kroger's, lots of different good jobs, just don't pay enough to afford what the market is offering.
That's something that interesting. I think people hear about this type of housing and they immediately think that the people don't work, but these are people that have jobs.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then some are retired. We just opened 1500 Elm Street. That's senior housing, and those rents are subsidized, and all those folks are retired, so they are on fixed incomes. And then some people do have disabilities, but the majority of our residents are working. And they work jobs in hospitals, taking care of us when we're sick, in nursing homes, cafeterias at schools.
At historic resource management companies.
At historic resource.
That must be where you work, right?
Yes.
Tell us, Jay and Ryan, you can jump in here. Why do you think Over the Rhine is a neighborhood that is, so many have said is so important to the health and wealth of the city? Why is Over the Rhine always brought up as a city that's so important? Or part of the city, I should say. Jay?
I mean, the placement of the city itself at the river, you know, throughout history, river towns are instrumental in providing goods and services along those routes. Cincinnati is no different. It's our financial core for a lot of, like, big companies, P&G, you know, of the likes. And so it's important that those areas that generate jobs and opportunity be recognized. Also, we're one of the few cities that maintain that historic, the buildings, the historic structure of the community. So for me, those are primary reasons.
Ryan?
Yeah, and I would agree. It's the assets that come with Over the Rhine. And it's no question the buildings and the history that comes with them. But if you think about the history of the neighborhood, you know, it was lots of immigrants. It was kind of the working class. It was, you know, I see these kind of scrappy people who were just making an incredible life. And I've met people who, you know, that are somewhat elderly now who talk about their grandparents when they first came to Cincinnati to Over the Rhine. I think people, if you're a Cincinnatian or even myself coming from Rising Sun, if you go back a couple of generations, we find these Germans who were somewhere in Over the Rhine. So I think it is part of the core of Cincinnati. And if you look at kind of the center of the city, downtown, the central business district, there's some residential there, not tons. But you really start to see the people of Cincinnati once you cross over Central Parkway and enter the neighborhood. And, you know, it is the symbol, I think, of what Cincinnati can be and what it will become. When I first moved back to Cincinnati in 2001, I landed and was told one of the first things when I got here that there was a curfew, and it was at the time of the riots. And, you know, fast forward, we've come a long way. We still have a long way to go, but to think that I'm now living in the neighborhood where that happened, and maybe I can be a part of helping our city move forward and patch some things up that might need to be fixed.
A lot of people, if they don't regularly come to the Over the Rhine area, don't live in Over the Rhine, one of the first things they think about is crime and drugs and a lot of the problems that have gone on over the years. Tell us about that neighborhood out. Ryan, Jay, you live there? Do you feel safe?
I've not so much as had. Actually, one time I had a pair of old tennis shoes stolen from my back door. And, you know, my guess was, you know, they had mud all over them. Somebody needed those shoes. Yeah. But it, you know, we get a thing from District 1 police headquarters each week that talks about the crime and Over the Rhine. And if you read the fine print, the things that are happening are people that actually don't live in Over the Rhine. These are not our neighbors committing a lot of these crimes. And because it was vacant, really, for decades in some parts, in some streets, hardly lived on, it became a place where people could come do what they needed to do out of any spotlight because people really weren't paying attention. And so now that we have people moving onto streets and taking their trash out and flipping on their lights, and every time Mary and her organization redoes a building and puts people there and people like me move in and Jay move in, you know, you get back to a true neighborhood. And so I would say I have absolutely no fear walking in any part of Over the Rhine. And I do it as Citizens on Patrol.
Yeah.
I walk on every street and have never had a problem.
I just want to challenge that a little bit. And I don't think you meant to say this, but there have been people in the neighborhood who've cared for decades.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's not just the new folks who are moving in who cared about safety. And people have done lots of things over the years. Block parties, trying to take back the street, meetings with police officers, and I've participated in lots of them over the last 20-some years. And so people have had concerns and worked with the police. And a lot of the crime is specifically related to drug issues.
Yeah.
And it's usually people who don't live in the neighborhood who are selling, and people who are buying don't live in the neighborhood. But I just wanted to be clear that there have been people who've cared and intervened.
And I was actually meaning people not in the neighborhood. You know, I think a lot of things happen in Over the Rhine, and if you're living in another part of the city, a decade ago, people weren't concerned about it because there weren't these fancy, shiny new restaurants.
Yeah.
Now that they're wanting to come down, I think people are looking a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think what people find when they come is it's an incredibly walkable, safe neighborhood that's just like anywhere else.
And safety's an issue no matter where you lived. I've lived in Wyoming, the city, not the state, and safety is a concern. I mean, I think sometimes in an effort to bring attention or awareness to a community, you focus on those things that people are most concerned about. But the concerns here in Over the Rhine are no different than in any other neighborhood. And so I think if you look at it as a growing community and in a growing, developing, diverse community, there are things that we all want to make sure are maintained and held true. Sure, safety is important, but I'm a woman. I'm a single parent. I've never been concerned. And as a matter of fact, I moved back into the city because I felt it was important that my children know that their neighborhood is not just about, it's not just about street lines and this perceived idea of a suburban experience, but that the urban core can also be a place to learn, to grow, to develop, and become a participatory member of community.
We're talking about Over the Rhine this afternoon. My guest, Executive Director of the Over the Rhine Community Housing, Mary Rivers. Jay Washington, who works and lives in Over the Rhine, and Chair of the Over the Rhine Community Council, Ryan Messer. If you have a question or a comment or an Over the Rhine story you'd like to share, we'd like to hear from you. Our number is 513-419-7100. You also can email your questions to talk@wvxu.org. We're on Facebook and Twitter as well. Let's talk about Washington Park. That certainly is the story that most people hear these days right away. It was a scary place at one time, or a somewhat scary place at one time, sort of completely revitalized, now seems to be full of families and a very different group of people than maybe were there 10 years ago. What does the change in Washington Park mean to that community? Mary?
Well, it does provide the opportunity, similar to Findlay Market, for a diverse group of people to come together and share experiences. The community participated in planning for the park, and there were some challenges there, and maybe the community didn't get everything it wanted. There used to be a deep water pool there with a diving board and a swim team, and the community had lobbied for a deep water pool to stay and some basketball courts. But I think overall, I mean, the experience has been positive, and that a lot of people feel welcome there and a lot of people use the park. And there's kind of a different experience on the north end of the park than there is on the south end of the park. The south end is more a place for, it's more peaceful and relaxing, whereas the northern section is where all the activities are. But I think overall it's positive.
It's funny, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. There's no denying that. But for me, Washington Park, whether it has the latest and greatest amenities or was a simpler park with less shiny things and more of a community feel, has always been a place where the community gathered. And again, if you were willing to get past the dramatization that often occurs about this neighborhood, you would find a diverse group of people there always, whether it was 10 years ago or today. And I'm grateful that it still holds this place in the community as a gathering space. I'm grateful for the idea that new things have been brought in and it's been updated and that people feel comfortable now coming down from other places. Mm-hmm. But again, part of the reason I'm in this community is because Washington Park then and now was a place that I could see all kinds of people across generations, across ethnic lines, across religious beliefs. It was always a place truly based on community.
Ryan?
Yeah, I think Washington Park is kind of like our front porch in Over the Rhine. It's where, we gather with our neighbors, but also where we welcome guests from outside our neighborhood in. One thing that I will say, and I missed all the discussions about the planning, I kind of arrived as the built working with my contractors and all those things as they were breaking ground to start digging the garage, and then the park sprung from that. But I, as a person who lives right on the park and I look at Washington Park every day, for us, it's an exciting place to see diverse people in the neighborhood interacting together. And I think they've done a great job of having a variety of events that really speak to all the various cultures that exist in Over the Rhine. And, as we take our six-year-old there, that's our front yard. Mm-hmm. And, it's great. Mm-hmm. He meets kids who are like him and many who are not like him. And it's great to see the world through those kids' eyes and see what I think the future of Over the Rhine potentially will be.
How do you feel about that area being used not only for the people that live there, but so many people coming in? I mean, it makes the neighborhood kind of crowded. Is that a good thing, or do you wish everybody would go home and let you have your neighborhood?
Well, I will tell you, when I got home this morning from my early morning gym appointment, and I got out of my car, and I spent probably the first 10 minutes picking up just little pieces of trash that were no question a result of people who had come down and maybe enjoyed the park yesterday or one of the events over the weekend. And I mean, it's funny that you asked that. Literally, I thought, what a small price to pay to have this amazing venue in the center of our neighborhood, not only for our residents together, but to show the rest of Cincinnati how beautiful the neighborhood is. And perhaps we can be a role model for other neighborhoods across the city. And use that as our launching pad for that.
Mm-hmm. Mary, talk about what all you're doing. Are new buildings under construction now? How long does it take to take one of your buildings and turn it into affordable housing?
Yeah, it takes too long. We just closed on the financing for a 13-unit building on Republic Street in the 1400 block of Republic next to where the Salazar restaurant is. So we're very excited about that. But that took a while to get all the financing together and to make the investors feel comfortable. It probably took a couple of years, maybe 2.5, 3 years. Once we start construction, we should be finished in 8 to 9 months. And then we just finished 1500 Elm. We're working on a project in the Pendleton area of the neighborhood called Cutter Apartments. But that's existing Section 8 housing that we'll be making investments in and improving significantly. And so we're in the process of what's going to be next in developing our development pipeline. We do own property north of Liberty. Some need reinvestment. There's some buildings up there that we're interested in. So it takes a while, and it takes too long.
Thank you all for being here. It's really been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've been talking about changes in Over the Rhine and efforts to make it a more inclusive neighborhood. My guests have been Executive Director of the Over the Rhine Community Housing, Mary Rivers, Jay Washington, who works and lives in Over the Rhine, and Chair of the Over the Rhine Community Council, Ryan Messer. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Today's Technical Director was Bruce Ellis. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.